From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of Faith Free Presbyterian Church, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
Thank you for joining us for this broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. In a few minutes, we'll be hearing from Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. On today's program, Dr. Cairns continues his series of studies in the book of Joshua as he brings the next portion of a message entitled, The Root of Failure and the Key to Victory. In Joshua chapter 6, Israel had just enjoyed a remarkable victory over Jericho. And yet, in the very next chapter, we find the same army suffering a humiliating defeat at the hands of the inhabitants of the city of Ai. Shocked at this turn of events, Joshua cried out to God as to the reason. The Lord gave him a very terse answer. There is sin in the camp. As we'll see in the course of this message, the Christian's attitude towards sin is the key either to victory or to defeat. The sin spoken of here is not just the occasional transgression. It is gross, deliberate, and persistent sin, which grieves the Holy Spirit of God. Achan's sin included many aspects, including sacrilege, contamination by the unclean thing, and hypocrisy. The presence of unconfessed sin renders the believer powerless against God's enemies. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns in just a few minutes. First, please enjoy this devotional thought from Morning by Morning, taken from the writings of C.H. Spurgeon. This morning's text is found in Psalm 126 and verse 3. The Lord hath done great things for us, whereof we are glad. Some Christians are sadly prone to look on the dark side of everything, and to dwell more upon what they have gone through than upon what God has done for them. Ask for their impression of the Christian life, and they will describe their continual conflicts, their deep afflictions, their sad adversities, and the sinfulness of their hearts, yet with scarcely any allusion to the mercy and help which God has vouchsafed them. But a Christian whose soul is in a healthy state will come forward joyously and say, I will speak not about myself, but to the honor of my God. He hath brought me up out of an horrible pit and out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my goings, and he hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. The Lord hath done great things for me, whereof I am glad. Such an abstract of experience as this is the very best that any child of God can present. It is true that we endure trials, but it is just as true that we are delivered out of them. It is true that we have our corruptions, and mournfully do we know this, but it is quite as true that we have an all-sufficient Savior who overcomes these corruptions and delivers us from their dominion. In looking back, it would be wrong to deny that we have been in the slough of despond and have crept along the valley of humiliation, but it would be equally wicked to forget that we have been through them safely and profitably. We have not remained in them, thanks to our almighty helper and leader, who has brought us out into a wealthy place. The deeper our troubles, the louder our thanks to God who has led us through all and preserved us until now. Our griefs cannot mar the melody of our praise. We reckon them to be the bass part of our life's song. He hath done great things for us, whereof we are glad.
Sing to the Lord, hallelujah. Sing to the Lord, blessed for me.
listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We're delighted that you've tuned in today, and we're especially grateful for those of you who make this program a regular part of your day. The response to these broadcasts has been most encouraging. Your words of appreciation and support mean a great deal to us as we seek to proclaim the unsearchable riches of Christ. Our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, briefly sets out the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church. That and any other literature we offer on these broadcasts is free for the asking. You may contact us by email, by telephone, or by regular mail. You may write to Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You may email us at ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. Or you may telephone us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. Also, if you enjoy the programs, you may like to join us on our website, Let the Bible Speak Radio, or ltbsradio.com. Don't forget that word radio, ltbsradio.com. In addition to the regular programs, the website contains video clips of Dr. Cairns answering questions regarding various issues, such as, why don't Jews accept Jesus as the Messiah? Does God practice deliberate deception? Or, why doesn't God save everybody? These video portions are listed under Q&A with Alan Cairns. You're sure to find these presentations to be informative and enlightening. Q&A with Alan Cairns is found on ltbsradio.com.
You see, our attitude to sin is a key to our defeat or to our victory in the work of God. Our attitude to sin. Now, I realize that that's a very old-fashioned outlook. When I say that sin is the cause of failure, I don't mean just the presence of any sin. After all, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. Any man who thinks that he has no sin is only saying that he's so far from God that his conscience is dulled and he doesn't understand the standards of the Word of God. In the camp of Israel, there were undoubtedly all the usual feelings. But only one sin could cause the failure that Israel had. See, what I'm talking about when I say sin is the cause of failure, it's usually gross sin, or deliberate, willful, or usually for most of us, persistent sin. Take a look at Achan's sin. It was colossal, it was complex. It contains all the elements of most of the types of sin that damage or destroy a Christian's work and witness. First of all, it was deliberate disobedience. God said, "Thou shalt not," and he did. Deliberate disobedience. Let me tell you, my friend, deliberate disobedience is altogether rampant among professing Christians today. When a man knows to do right and doesn't do it, it is sin. The Scripture is clear and plain and unmistakable. We have clear commands in the Word of God. Thou shalt and thou shalt not. And when Christians fly in the face of the clear commands of God's Word, they need not then throw up their hands in mock horror or get before God as Joshua did and say, "Lord, what is happening? Why have we lost the blessing? Why are we out of touch with God? Why is our life not amounting to anything?" If you're living in disobedience before God and you know it, then, my friend, while you live in disobedience, things are not going to change. Then there was sacrilege. Verse 11. The sacrilege had this man Achan taking of what was devoted to God, stealing from God. Now let's stop there for a moment. Stealing from God. Taking that which belongs to the Savior. Taking, in this case, gold and silver. Sometimes that's the trouble with Christians. We can easily sing the words, "Take my silver and my gold, not a mite would I withhold," and that only makes us liars as well as thieves in so many cases. All too easy for Christians to get to the place where they so worship the gold and the silver, what has become known as the American dream and the ability to go forward financially, that they replace God and the throne of their heart with the idol of this world's goods. It's all too easy. Let's ask you to search your heart this morning. How many Christians here are careful to ensure that they tithe their income to God, to God's work? How many Christians, when they get what they say belongs to them, come to it and say, "The first 10% of that does not belong to me. It belongs to God. It's not mine to work with. It's not mine to invest. It's not mine to put in with my other resources. It belongs to the Lord." but I'm poor. Well, there's all the more reason then. I've often quoted to you the words of S.P. Cook, who was my minister at the time, and I don't know anybody who was any poorer than Bert Cook. If you had to live even in today's equivalent standards, if you had to live on what Bert Cook had to live on, you would say it's a joke to expect it. Your children, in most cases, would have more pocket money in a week than he had to run a home on. And I never forget what he said. He said, I cannot afford not to tithe. I never forgot that. I was just a teenager. I never forgot that. The first fruits belong to the Lord. It's sacrilege to steal what belongs to Him. The Lord has tied this into great blessing in Malachi 3 when He says, bring all the tithes into the storehouse and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord, if I will not open to you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing that there shall not be room enough to receive it. So does God tie spiritual blessing into our financial commitment to Him and to His work? Yes, He does. You'd better believe it. And all the praying in the world, and all the weeping in the world, and all the witnessing in the world, and all the Bible reading in the world, and all the holy conversation in the world, will never take the place of us simply saying, Lord, I will not be a thief of the things that belong to God. I will not do it. There was sacrilege. And of course then, there was this contamination with the unclean thing, with the accursed thing. God says, touch not this accursed thing. He not only touched it, He embraced it. How many are the things in this society in which we live, which are plainly and clearly under the curse of a holy God? How many of them have been set aside and the Lord says, don't touch them? But we have Christians and they're not only touching them, they're wallowing in the mire of those things. I realize that for better or worse, we live in the late 20th century and there's no way out of it. We should thank God we're here to serve Him in it. But we should never forget we are here to serve Him in it. There are Christians whose reading material is vile. There are Christians whose reading material is pornographic. There are Christians who can sit down and spend hours watching the utmost immoral filth. Then they go to God and say, Lord, why do we not have revival? And God says, get up from your face before me. Filth, pornography, wickedness. They're Christian homes. I can't understand it, but there are Christian homes where they can watch sodomy, lesbianism, perversion, wickedness portrayed before them. And they say, oh, that's terrible. But it's there nonetheless. God says, touch it not. But we have got so used to the filth of this society in which we live that God's word seems a trifle old-fashioned. Then there was hypocrisy. in verse 11. He hath dissembled. It's just a bit like Ananias and Sapphira. He committed the sin. Now, Achan knew that this was sin. Achan knew that God's curse was upon it. But he came back into the camp and he kept up appearances, and there he was. In the entire period between the fall of Jericho and the failure at Ai, there he was in the camp with all the appearances of a good, upright, honest, hard-working, obedient member of Israel. But all the time he was just a hypocrite. It was just a mask. It was a cover-up for what he knew and God knew was a rotten and a filthy and a wicked thing. Can you see him with those who are going to pray? And there he is, and he can pray. Can you see him with those at the time of the public exhortation of the word? And oh, he's there, and he can pay attention. And can you see him among those, and they're talking about going on to conquer Ai and the rest of the land? And oh yes, here's a man, and he can talk about this mighty movement of God and this great revival. He can talk about it. But all the time he's just a hypocrite. Just a hypocrite. An Ananias or a Sapphira. Oh, the curse of Christian hypocrisy. You'll have heard it said before how we get the word hypocrite. It's an allusion to the Greek theater. We would say it's just putting a mask on. It's hiding the real face behind a mask. It's taking the appearance and hiding the reality behind the appearance. My friend, let me tell you, God says as long as that is the case, expect nothing. You may have all the talent in the world, you may do a million and one other things, but while that is the case, expect nothing of spiritual power and spiritual blessing. It can't be. There was carnal lust. That was one of his great failures. Carnal lust was in his sin. The lust of the flesh. The lust of the eye. There it was. Lust, when it's conceived, bringeth forth sin. Sin, when it is finished, always brings forth death. It's a chain of events that neither you nor I can ever interrupt.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.faithfpc.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means, let us know. Once again, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-5827. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us Monday through Friday at this same time as we let the Bible speak.